You turn to Marketplace for the latest news about what's happening in the economy and how it affects you and your community. When you donate to support our nonprofit newsroom, you can also get something a little more tangible. We have a great lineup of donor thank you gifts right now. A shrinkflation mini tote bag, water bottles, mugs, hats, and a lot more. Contribute any amount to make a difference and pick up one of these gifts. Go to marketplace.org/donate.
Preparing for a worst-case scenario, the warning from iPhone maker Foxconn today. Live from the BBC World Service, this is the Marketplace Morning Report. I'm Will Bain. Great to have your company, as always. Taiwan's Foxconn has ridden the globalisation wave for four decades. Making high-end products cheaply in China, the company has boomed. Clients like Amazon, Dell and Sony have benefited too, and perhaps none more so than its biggest client, Apple. As US-China relations have soured, though, the firm, which makes more than half the world's iPhones, is caught in the middle of a geopolitical tug-of-war. So how does it navigate that? The BBC's Asia business editor, Karishma Vaswani, sat down exclusively at Foxconn's Taipei HQ with its boss, Yong Liu.
I don't know politics that much, but in my mind, I think politics is something that may change. I don't know exactly, what they are trying to fight for, but I always think they will reach a balance.
So how do you as a business prepare for something like that? Your operations are headquartered here. You are a vital part of the Taiwanese economy. What's the business contingency plan here?
The diversification is one way. As a business, as a CEO, I had to think about, what if the worst case happened? So we are doing something, some BCP planning. Hopefully, it will not happen, but we have to be prepared.
I just want to get a sense from you about the economic model in the last four decades that has helped Foxconn thrive, right? It's been manufacturing in China and selling to mainly US customers, leveraging that sort of dynamic. And it's really worked well for companies like Foxconn.
Yes.
Do you think, because of the current tensions, that model is over? We're in a new world now.
I don't think so. Because we're doing manufacturing, we hire a lot of workers. And most of the countries, they want to support their workers, including China. Whether we are going to have all the manufacturing in China, would that be affected because of the tension? So far, we haven't seen it.
The U.S. has talked about de-risking from China. What does that mean for a business like yours, de-risking from China?
We do contract manufacturing for our branded customers.
Many of whom are in the West.
Right. And they probably, get the push from their government about de-risking. And then they will let us know.
Have they done that yet?
There's some, but not all. For certain their product lines, for certain product lines already moved to Mexico. For some of the product lines moved to Vietnam. But not all the product lines. It depends. For the products that have national security concerns, there will be the first batch to move.
How do you think China's journey in technology is going? Could it overtake the U.S. in the future?
From U.S.'s point of view, they have to move faster. China, so far, is behind, right, technology-wise. You don't tell the follower to say, you stop, okay, because I don't move fast enough. You better stop. And I don't think that's the right approach. They should think the other way around. I should move much faster so the follower can not catch up with us. It's the same answer that I to my shareholders. They ask me about, how are we going to cope with the our competitors from mainland China, okay? What's our strategy? I told them, from Foxconn's point of view, we have to move much faster so that they are not able to catch up. We cannot tell them to stop. So it's the same idea, you know, from the country level's point of view. I think my advice, I think for the U.S., they have to move faster so that you know, China and another China in the future, they won't be able to catch up.
Young Liu, the boss of Foxconn there. Well, let's check in on the numbers now this Friday morning. Yeah, sticking with tech, big news from US chip makers today. First, Intel has announced it will invest up to $4.6 billion to build a semiconductor plant in Poland. The plant, expected to be completed by 2027, will employ around 2,000 people, the company said. Elsewhere, rival Micron set to invest $600 million in its factory in China. That, of course, comes just weeks after the US memory chip maker was barred from supplying the country's critical infrastructure operations. Robocop becomes reality. Yeah, the fearsome sound of a police robot on patrol in Singapore, or not quite. It's making a traffic stop there outside the city-state airport. A dystopian film perhaps turning into reality, or a tech-savvy solution to a labour shortage. You decide, as the BBC's Michael Bristow tells us more.
I think the first thing to make clear is that in people's mind, they might be thinking about RoboCop, the science fiction film where you get this aggressive, able law enforcement agent basically willing to stop anything. Actually, it isn't like that at all, and I don't want you to laugh at this, but it looks a lot like a large wheelie bin. Essentially, it's 1.7 metres tall. It's got a camera on the top which can look 360 degrees. It sends information back to a control room where there's a flesh and blood officer sat there monitoring what goes on. And so it's basically observational. But the Singapore police does say it has what it calls interim intervention measures. These are basically flashing lights, speakers, a siren. So if something happens and this robot cop is around, it can alert bystanders to what's going on. It can even act as a kind of cordon to stop people getting near to something until a human police officer arrives.
A multi-million dollar deal between a media group run by Prince Harry and his wife Meghan Markle and the streaming giant Spotify has been cancelled, Marketplace's Joe Critchell reports.
A deal struck 2.5 years ago between Spotify and the couple's production company Archewell Audio was rumoured to be worth around $20 million. But it produced only one series, a podcast called Archetypes, which was Meghan Markle in conversation with celebrity guests. The series was popular, but reports suggest Spotify had expected more for its money from the couple, and the company has now decided against renewing the show for a second series. Both parties have issued a statement, just one sentence, simply saying they've agreed to part ways and they're proud of the series they made together.
And I'm Will Bain with the Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service.
Hey everyone, it's Rima Khreis, host of This Is Uncomfortable. If you're looking for some good recommendations on books to read, well, you should join This Is Uncomfortable's Summer Book Club. Every other week in our newsletter, we'll share a new book that'll make you rethink your relationship to money, class, and work, while also featuring an interview with the author or an expert on the topic. Plus, when you join, you'll be entered in a giveaway where you could win some This Is Uncomfortable merch. Be sure to check it out. Sign up today at marketplace.org/bookclub.